Here's what you missed on Kennedy Malloy. Don't miss out on some great low and slow barbecue tips and recipes. Hit up the low and slow zone at barbecuesgalore.com.au. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
It sure is, baby. It's Wednesday. What day's that, Dave?
It's hump day.
Hump day. Woo. Let's get into it. Here we go. Here's the good news.
What?
A current affair have tracked down the honey badger.
Whoa.
Unbelievable.
They have tracked him down in Papua New Guinea. We will speak to reporter on the spot, Reid Butler, about what is going down.
I cannot wait to hear from Reid. What's happening?
This could be their high watermark.
Mm. This will be the Walkley award-winning report.
Well done, guys.
Okay, have you heard of sneeting? Okay, no. I'm going to fill you in. Thank you very much.
What are you talking about?
I will fill you in on that. Let's just say it involves dating and food.
You sound like a sneeter.
I'm not a sneeter. I'm definitely not.
We'll talk about that a little later.
We'll probably have an update about the Opera House it was the craziest.
It's carnage.
24
hours. It's nuts.
It's carnage.
But it's one of the best protests I think I've ever seen.
They're tipping cars over. They're sitting fighting themselves.
No, they're not. They're using torches.
Have they?
Yes. They got their lights out.
Like an angry mob.
An angry mob of torches and iPhones.
I mean old torches.
I know.
Flames.
No fire. No fire.
It's disappointing.
Just good fun. Oh, look, we have a real treat today.
Boo.
Marcus Mumford has got his guitar in our studio, and he's going to rock out a tune for us.
Cannot wait. That's going to be
special. Very special.
Something off the new album, right up our alley. Malcolm Turnbull makes a return to the show.
Oh, yeah. From New York. Is he back?
I believe he's been spotted leaving a waxing salon.
Really?
I can't say too
You're
much.
You're kidding.
But we'll get to the bottom of that. And, of course, that means his mate Lawrence Mooney will be in tow.
Oh, that's great.
We may have to speak to him about Scott Morrison, who's...
Well, there's something that's occurred today that I'm just in shock about.
Have revealed himself to be unworthy.
It's a problem when you mix religion and politics.
Yeah,
that's a bit of an issue.
He might have to go. Okay. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. There's so much more to get through. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Mickey Malloy.
What were you doing? You out sneeting last night?
No. When I explain what it is, I'll be very offended.
It involves dating.
It does. I don't want to spoil it. You've got to hang around. You've got to hang around and listen in.
Can you do it on a first date?
Yes.
Oh, can you?
You can sneet on a first date.
Well, I'm for it.
Yeah, all right.
All right.
Okay. No, I think
we'll get to the bottom of that.
I'll tell you what I've got.
We'll get you involved in that too.
Hello, Dave. I have got a treat for you, Dave. You'll love this. But Mick, you haven't heard this, have you?
No, I haven't.
Okay, mate of mine, Peter Ford, who is the one of Australia's best entertainment reporters, has put me onto this. This afternoon, he sent it to me. He said, you might want to use this for the show.
Well, what is it?
It's Yoko Ono, who has released her own version of Imagine.
You had me at Yoko. Hang on, why?
Because yesterday was John Lennon's 78th, what would have been his 78th birthday. And she's recorded a version. And, you know, I didn't know this, but John did say that she should have been credited as a co-songwriter on this. And he said he didn't say it, well, mainly because she's... he said he didn't credit her because of his own selfish behaviour.
I tend not to believe it.
Yeah.
Well, I think he didn't credit her because...
Because she's a nutbag!
Well, he may have heard her singing it. Would you like me to share with you the joy?
This is her version. This is how she would have done it.
This is currently done. She's 85, by the way.
Strap yourself in.
You ready? Here is Yoko Ono with Imagine.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us.
There's a hell.
Above us, on this sky.
No.
Imagine all the people living for today.
Wow. Have we got all of that? I want to hear the lot. Like, we can't do it now. Can we?
We'll dig it out. We'll get the the full version for you.
That,
yeah. Absolutely.
Well, that is very poignant.
It's high impact.
One of the reporters in Rolling Stone has described it. He said Yoko Ono unveiled a delicate rendition of the John Lennon classic Imagine.
And where was she? In some kind of hellish landscape?
Like, what was on the set of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Isn't a Dalek.
Very moody.
It was very moody. I thought that might get us going for today.
Not a huge fan of her work. The funniest thing she ever did, because she's quite art, you know, she does arty and her installation stuff. I think it was Sydney had in their gallery, it was in one of their big exhibitions. It was an installation involving her, and it was over the course of the 7 days, there was a phone, and it was just one, it was a phone sitting on a stand.
Oh, yes.
And Yoko Ono was going to ring on that phone at some stage over the course.
Oh, the installation. Just to get people in,
So people walk past, and if you happened to be closest to the phone when it rang, you could speak to Yoko Ono.
She
was only going to ring once. But so the phone was there for the whole 8 days. I just would have said, stop singing Imagine.
Good Lord.
All right. Hey, can we come back and get to Honey Badger Gate?
Yes. We're going to track down Reid Butler in the middle of Papua New Guinea.
Wow. We'll do that next. Thanks to Barbecues Galore. Some things are better low and slow. This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy for the drive home. Coming up, Marcus Mumford live, the Prime Minister, and more. Huge show. Huge
Forget
Wednesday.
Forget that.
What?
A current affair tonight. Tune in to see the honey badger door-stopped in a resort in Papua New Guinea, having finished the Kokoda trial.
With all his mates. He'll be watching.
Have you seen the footage?
He's
actually in a Terry Towering dressing gown.
Yeah. It looks like he's back on the set of The Bachelor, except he's in Papua New Guinea with all his boyfriends.
If I ever get door stopped, that's how I want to be. In a kind of smoking a pipe in a terry toweling thing. Anyway, look, we'll get to that. But look, this is to me the latest instalment in a great series of current affair who have held the line for so long. Can you think of your favourite moments? I mean, this to me goes straight into the pantheon of greats. Tracking down the honey badger. I put up there with Corey Worthington.
I agree with Layla McKinnon when she was really annoyed with him.
Have we?
Let's have a listen.
Take off your glasses and apologise to us.
I'll say sorry, but I'm not taking off my glasses.
Why not?
Because they're famous.
Love it so much.
How good
fantastic.
Was that? That is as good as it gets.
The reaction.
What else springs to mind?
Why not? Yeah. I think. What about the Paxtons?
The Paxtons.
They were the doll bludging family.
He did a 6-part series. Doll bludgers. They didn't seem that concerned about it. Is my memory of the Paxtons.
Let's have a listen to the Paxtons.
Mark, get up. Get up. It's 12:12. Get up.
And it's the same story for Shane's 17-year-old brother, Mark. There's just no reason to get out of bed.
Let me sleep for a little bit longer.
You guys get out of bed pretty late.
I'll wake up about 9:00, look at the clock, think, why do I have to get out of bed?
Sorry, that sounds like my house on a weekend.
Yes.
Ahead
of his time, the Paxton.
He is.
They really were. So we all remember that. Yes. We remember so many great moments from great reporters over the...
Recently,
Don Burke, I think, the high water mark.
Yeah, that was pretty.
The host herself, I think, went out and I think
Tracy Grimshaw did this one. Yeah, she went hard on
this memorable interview.
I'm an Asperger's person, and I have a lot of other failings, and I haven't been medically diagnosed, but I've worked it out that that's what I've got.
Yeah, well done. He's self-diagnosed. He's got Asperger's. And again, everyone camped around the TV because that's what a current affair do best. Well,
I think tonight.
Have we got the trailer?
Yeah, take a listen.
Okay.
G'day, Nick. Sorry to do this to you, but can we ask you a few questions about the mess you've left back home?
Sorry?
There's the honey badger.
And I think we've got that very reporter, Reid Butler, on the line now. Hello, Reid. How are you doing?
Oh, hey, guys. I'm going well, thank you.
Okay, what part of the Kokoda Trail did you pick him up on? Early, I hope, or you'd be stuffed.
I didn't have my shots. We just stayed in the resort.
Now, talk us through this. I think this is one of Current Affairs' finest moments. Well done. You've tracked him down. How much effort and planning went into this SAS-style operation?
Well, look, a lot as usual, guys. There's not a whole lot of resorts in Port Moresby, particularly that are safe.
Yeah.
So we kind of had a good idea of where he'd be staying, and we just wanted to have a chat to him on behalf of all the angry women out there.
Did he check in under the name the Honey Badger? Is that how he checked in?
Yeah. I think that would confuse these guys even more over here.
So Reid, did you actually check into this resort yourselves and you happened to run into him in the spa, or how did it all take place?
No, we checked in ourselves. It's sort of the way the resort is. It's a sort of a large compound with high gates around it and everything, and armed guards out the front and everything.
So sounds like the Bachelor Mansion.
It does.
Yeah, exactly right. But slightly less drama here. But yeah, you couldn't get in without checking in. So we've stayed here as well, and it's not too bad.
Did you offer him a rose? How did you when you found him? What was your approach? Was he shocked to see you?
He was shocked, and we were in no way wanting to obviously, chase him down the street or anything like that.
I don't quite believe you,
Reid. That's what we love. Come on, Reid, pull your finger out.
Are you kidding?
That's the money shot. Yeah,
we all like Nick, and I just obviously it's caused a lot of backlash and controversy back home in Australia, and the blokes used to reality cameras and cameras by now, and we just wanted to ask him, you know, what's doing? How have you copped the backlash? Do you think it's justified? And
What did he say? What's his attitude?
He'll have to watch tonight, but he got
well
a little
done.
Bit worked up. Obviously, he wasn't expecting us.
You've riled up the Honey Badger.
That's understandable, but surprisingly, kind of got a little bit more fiery than we were expecting from him. I thought he might have even had a joke about it.
Does he punch a cameraman?
No, he doesn't.
Does his mates punch anyone?
No, Nick saw the microphone on my chest, and he ripped it off.
That's pretty feisty of Nick. Reid, is this your first sort of big major story that you've sort of, you know?
I wouldn't exactly call this a.
Come on,
this is a Walkley winning award.
There you go. Woodward Bernstein.
It's a Walkley Award. Well, hang on. Hello. I think the Badger might have pulled the plug on his phone. I think he's tracked him down. But we wanted to thank Reid Butler for chatting to us today.
I think you offended him.
I know.
I think your tone wasn't appreciated.
Because I said it's your first big story.
Yeah, it's cracked him.
Like everyone else, should be watching A Current Affair tonight to get to the bottom of Honey Badger Gate.
And it's a Current Affair exclusive.
And you can say when Reid Butler accepts his Walkley, I heard him first.
Correct. Thanks a lot, Reid.
Hey, good on you, Reid.
Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Huge response to Honey Badger Gate.
Yes.
Everyone will be listening. They liked our famous moments from A Current Affair over the years.
We're reminiscing
There's a few flying in. People are suggesting their own. Ian, who, of course, remembers the guy who wanted to talk about the dog attack. We got him there?
Yeah, this guy.
They came bounding over.
That's a great one.
That is fantastic.
That's huge.
You know what that guy should do? He should do a duet with Yoko Ono.
Oh,
don't bring it up.
Imagine there's no countries.
Oh, jeez.
Lucky she got that right.
It isn't hard to do.
Seriously?
Nothing to kill or die for.
Is she in a David Lynch film? Listen to the soundtrack.
No religion too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I get cracking?
Come on, wind it up.
Here we go.
Imagine all the people.
Jeez. All right, that'll do for now. We'll keep playing bits of that.
There's so much self-restraint I need there. on so many levels.
You've got to come clean. I'm fascinated. You've been banging on about sneeting all day. You say you're a sneeter from way back?
I'm not a sneeter, and I've never been a sneeter, and I'm not about to be
Dave's
a sneeter. No.
I'm not a sneeter?
Okay. Nope.
Well, and what is it?
I don't believe you are either.
Well, I'll be the judge of that.
This is really fascinating me, this story.
Okay. Fire away.
This is from a student called Sarah, who's gone on online on WIM, which is a website for women. I said young women, that's why I read it. And she
just
starts...
What's going on?
You don't have to react so vividly. She says, being a student is financially tough. Sure, we get that.
Yeah, sure.
She says, most nights I ate rice with soy sauce, one of my children's favourite meals. So...
Changi, that was a good one in Changi.
She goes on Tinder. But she'd occasionally go on a date or two.
She's on Tinder.
Well, she had to back off Tinder because it came to the end of the night, and being a young woman who's in 2018, most guys go Dutch. They say, you know, they say, we'll split the bill.
Right.
That's a modern guy, right? Oh, that's what I mean. Well, that was on 20 years ago, 30 years ago. So she's gone, I can't really afford to do that. It really bugs me. So she's started actively seeking profiles of guys who appear more old-fashioned with old-fashioned values. And, for example, she said Dan and her had been talking for a few weeks but hadn't actually arranged a date. He suggested a restaurant. And she was going, tummy was going, rumble, rumble.
Right, yep.
She went, all right, let's do it. So they went out and she had five rosés and heaps of food, she says, and even dessert. And at the end, the bill came and Dan insisted on paying and she said, all right, F it, let him pay. And she's been doing this 40 times she's done it.
Wow. And that's recently. Sneeting. Is that what sneeting is?
Because it is sneeting means sneakily chatting someone up solely for the purpose of a free meal.
I mean, this has been going
people heard of this?
Since time immemorial, isn't it? I mean, this is the way the world works.
What do you mean? Oh, my God, just don't. Look at your face. You're having so much fun with this.
No, well,
I'm not talking about exchange of goods for something else.
She's a student and she's struggling and she needs money. She should go the traditional route and try stripping. That's...
But she's not cracking on to this. She doesn't even like these guys.
Did she get 40 free meals in a row?
Yes.
Well, that's good profiling. She should go into profiling for because she's got a definite skill.
Well, that or she should be a judge on MasterChef.
Picking dead set patsies.
So she's just using them.
I just want to get a free feed.
Yeah.
Well, move aside. Where's Matt Preston?
She's the new reviewer.
Where's Matt Preston on it? It's just here. With a crap. Yep. I don't know, but give me that plate.
Well, I'm fascinated. I actually asked because Whitney, our producer.
She's going on a date tomorrow.
She's going on a date tomorrow.
Oh,
and she goes,
yeah. I've got a bad feeling about
it. No, she's really looking forward to
take
it.
Take a chaperone.
She can't wait.
Guy could have a dark energy, I reckon.
No, she's really excited about it. But she's saying, you know, it is a thing.
But she's not going to pay. Is that what she's saying?
No, she didn't say that. She always goes, half.
I've said in my time, it's, you know, I've generally have had the honour of paying, you know.
I don't mind that. Well, I'm a modern gal.
Are you?
But I don't mind if
I wouldn't
a guy
pay
says,
your bar bill. Jesus.
How dare you?
How much
Excuse
money do you think
me.
I have?
I'd take that back right now.
I'd put down a deposit.
Stop it. Yeah. Take that back.
You're a runner.
Well, this is funny. Do you know what? There's an etiquette around restaurants. I've got a mate who, likewise, when the bill comes, he's just got this uncanny ability to just not be there.
Oh,
he's
really?
Either at the toilet.
He's that guy.
I've got to get this guy. So he takes his phone and he'll stand out the front of the restaurant until such time as it's done and then mysteriously
reappear. But that must
reappear.
Be so stressful watching out for when the bill's going to come. Yeah. You can't concentrate on conversation.
Well, you've got no money.
Well, don't go out.
He does the same with the round of beers.
No.
He's sitting
Round of beers.
Come on. Where's Davo? Oh, he's gone.
Well, I don't know. Do other people have restaurant tricks and getting out of
what
bill?
What do you do? This girl's obviously decided to
turn
on men and rip us off like the big patsies we are.
Again.
It's been going on forever.
We're so sorry for you guys. It's so hard. It's terrible.
All right.
Well, give us a call. 1-333-53.
I would never sneak.
Really?
Well, I've done a runner. That's my sneeting.
All right, 1-333-53.
Come to think of it.
Who pays? What happens?
Pick a load of Mark Fusciuto and his pub.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, you've done the runner there.
I've done a runner there. You'll never get that money, Roo.
Tell us what happens.
Take your calls after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
We're knee-deep in sneeting.
I've never heard this word before.
You have sneeted me.
What are you talking about?
How many times do I think of it when you start patting yourself down going,
Oh my God, that is so
I didn't
wrong.
Think you were that person.
I'm not.
Did I sneak you in Mykonos? Oh, I think I did.
Really? No.
I think I did.
Oh, you didn't.
Not to worry.
No, that was the opposite of sneeting.
My friends and I often go,
I'll pay now, you do the next one.
Correct.
That's a very civilized
system.
Dating's different.
But just resets what sneeting is.
Sneeting is when you intentionally go on a date with no intention of paying for the bill at all.
And in some instances, you've even targeted them.
You've targeted the person and it's sneakily. That there's the sneaking bit, sneakily avoiding paying
for
a move. Yeah,
and your girlfriend got away with it 40 times in a row.
Yes.
So there you go. I was wondering what's going on around. You know, I left my card in a restaurant accidentally one night, and I went, oh, my God. I rang the next day, said it's there. Mm. I goes, yep, come in and get it. So I go in and the restaurant's shut, and I'm going, there's no one there. Mm. And then I heard a noise in the bathroom. So I go into the bathroom, I open the door,
yeah.
and I walk in, and there with an open cubicle door is the chef sitting on the toot shelling peas. Hey.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I didn't go back to that restaurant.
Wow.
I got my card and I left.
Make a quick call to our health department.
Hey, Kim.
Let's find out what's going on in the world of food and paying bills. Kim, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, guys. How are you doing?
Good. Kim, what's your story?
So we have an old family friend, and he was getting away with this for decades before we realised. whenever you went out to dinner with this guy, like in a group of people with him and his partner or him on his own,
yeah.
he would always be the guy that would get the bill mm-hmm. and work out how much everybody's got to pay. So he'd split it up and tell everyone, you know, yeah. 100 ahead. But he'd leave himself and his partner out.
No.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, my.
You'd never know, would you?
No, you wouldn't.
No, you didn't know.
Well, so no, you would. You'd have to do the maths at the table. You'd have to go, what's
if
the...
If you actually worked it out, then
you need to know the total.
Yeah, include
and
that.
Go, what are you asking of me?
Yeah. But
so how did he get busted, Kim?
Somebody actually, ages later, picked up the bill after he'd looked at it. Because we never checked, right?
He told us
how much and we just put the money down. But somebody else looked at it and said, hang on a second, that's not right.
That's so
cheap. 12 people, you've only split it 10 ways.
Well, Kim, for the times you've missed out, we should give you a prize for that.
$100 worth of De Bortoli wines, Kim. Delicious rosé by De Bortoli. Everything you want in a pale, dry rosé.
I like it a lot.
Oh, you're speaking my language.
Oh, good
well
on
done,
you, Kim.
Max, what's going on, buddy?
Guys, we go for dinner with a few people. There's probably six of us go out. And we've got one guy goes out by himself. And at the end of the night, we've always got cash. We just throw money on the table.
Yeah.
You get good service. Always throw in $5-$10 for waitresses.
Yeah.
Whatever each. No drama. And he always says, I've got a card. I'll go pay off the bill. And he always usually argues that we're going to pay. So he goes up there. Turns out he doesn't give the waitresses the tips or anything. He just pockets the cash.
No.
He pockets the cash, puts the card in his pocket, and he doesn't pay.
And the only reason we found out later was because one of the girls we actually knew worked there, and we said, oh, what do you do with all your tips? Because we give you plenty. She says, you don't give us anything.
Oh, Max. Now,
I'm
hearing that this is not uncommon. There's a few scammers who do that. You have.
I know of
something where someone has taken, said to everybody, you leave the restaurant, everyone's put their cash tips in the middle of the table, and he said, I'll fix the bill up and I'll hand it. And he's pocketed the tips.
Oh, that's cheap.
I've heard of that. Yes, I have heard of that.
Daniel, what happened to you? Are you being sneated on?
I have. It's probably been Janie's friend herself.
Oh, Daniel, I hope
not. What happened? Paint the picture.
Oh, just it's happened dozens of times, mate. Go on plenty of dates and stuff like that. Try and find love, as many of us try and do. And
got your pockets picked.
Yeah, basically.
Got mugged.
Oh.
Yeah, we get to the end of the date, everything goes well, you know. Try and do the right thing, drop her off at the door, say goodnight, and then nothing. Hear nothing ever again.
And you've shouted dinner.
You've shouted dinner and you got nothing.
Movies, bowling, whatever they wanted to do, drinks for the night.
I think it's the bowling that did it. you're probably on till then.
Daniel, you sound like a good guy.
Price pack for you, Daniel. Congratulations.
Try to do the right things.
If anyone feels like they'd like to take Daniel out for dinner, he sounds like a bit of a patsy.
No, he does not.
He sounds like you pay and then you get away with it.
No, he sounds adorable.
All right.
Yes. Stand by, Daniel. You're going to just get so many women.
Good on you, Daniel. Steve, what's going on, mate?
G'day, guys. We had one of these peanuts that used to hang around with us all the time that always tried to get out of it.
Yeah.
The biggest tortoise you have ever seen. And I thought one night we invited a whole bunch of friends out, and I thought, no, it's a special occasion. And when the bill come out, I went, it's all right, guys, no problems. I've got this for the night.
Good for you, Steve.
$800.
Yep.
Very nice.
You know what? That's fine. And he happened to passingly glance, have a look at the bill, then proceeded to bitch and moan and carry on the entire rest of the time about how much it was.
Oh,
I'm never going to pay money for that food. I won't pay for this. Mate, you didn't pay. I did.
Yes, that's right.
All right, give him a prize too.
Yeah,
that
price
was right. Well done.
Steve.
We got to the bottom of that. Gents, be very careful out there. Mm. You could be sneating.
Well, it could go the other way around. You know, it is 2018.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure it's bound to happen.
I bet you it is.
It's bound to be a thing.
It could be.
For the first time in history.
Oh, all right.
Off you go.
Hey, up next, Marcus Mumford is going to play live for us on Kennedy Malloy.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Hey, huge moment for us now on Kennedy Malloy because this guy's here.
Aria, Brit and Grammy Award winners Mumford & Sons are really responsible for bringing the banjo back.
We sort of encouraged to not have to play with the drum and just see how far we got.
Deny my dear. Deny my.
Now with a fourth studio album, Delta, coming in November.
If we finish it in time.
They had an interesting song selection process.
Went and did what we call the campfire test on all those songs. We recorded them just with either acoustic guitar or a piano and one voice to see where we were at.
Plus, the Aussie Faves are back here in January for a national tour.
That's if they can afford it.
Ben arrives with 15 bottles of champagne and says, lads, have you heard about room service? They just bring you stuff for free.
No.
And we had to break it to him that that's not how room service works.
Performing live the new single Guiding Light, please welcome Marcus Mumford.
Even when there is no star in sight, you'll always be my only guiding light.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Marcus Mumford, hey. Live on Kennedy Malloy. Hey. We're going to bring Marcus round into the studio. I think every member of the staff is in the...
Every member of the whole building is here.
What a great
Very popular with the Triple M staff here.
Hey, by the way, the new album Delta is out November 16. Tickets to see Mumford & Sons in Australia go on sale this Friday. Bunch of shows around Australia. Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide and Perth. And joining us now in studio is the great Marcus Mumford.
Congratulations. Well, that's a hit. That's
oh my
a bona fide.
So good.
It's not how I would have done it. I would have made a few, you know, variant changes.
Marcus, you know what I was thinking as you were playing that? You talk about campfires. We just heard a bit of you being interviewed.
Oh, yeah.
And there would be so many guys now who would be thinking that they can sit around a campfire and sing and play guitar like you do, but I don't think so. That was extraordinary. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks very much for having me.
We appreciate you making
I bloody love Australia.
Do you?
Yeah, I really do.
You've been out here a few times.
You were the first place internationally that we experienced feeling like embraced by an audience.
Do you know, we have a funny habit of doing that.
We did the same thing with ABBA.
We did. We're not kidding.
Did you really? Back in the day, yes. I think
you're very good at making people feel welcome.
But we do. Well, we love your stuff and your band and everything you've done. It's specifically this network. So sitting in this chair, you'd be surprised how well I know your music.
Oh, man.
So, it's a great thing.
It's not lost on us and we're really grateful.
Now, Jane, you were making the point. Jane, what was the point you're making? About you think you started the whole hipster trend here in Australia.
Well, I'm going to say this in a flattering way because you reintroduced to actually a generation or introduced to a generation of people from 2007, is that about when you first started out, to acoustic music because it had been a bit forgotten about before then and the lilting lyrics and accordion and banjo and things like that.
Love the banjo.
Is that just because how you're brought up? I'm saying...
What, are you trying to pin on me?
We're saying there's a whole movement...
You trying to pin on me, flat white? Is that what you're trying to do?
No.
Don't pin that on me, Jane.
She's suggesting that a lot
of bunch of guys,
you inspired a generation of young men to embrace a different, less masculine necessarily way of engaging the world.
Yes.
Well, that's a different conversation. Don't try and pin that stuff on me either. But to your original point, Jane.
Yes.
We got really excited driving around London. We just passed our driving tests. We were like 17, driving around London in my Vauxhall Nova. You've been Nova taken, by the way.
You've been a chick magnet.
Classic car. And listening to like Old Crow Medicine Show, full blast. And it felt like one else was doing it. And of course, lots of people were doing it. This music has been around for such a long time.
Of course it has, yes.
But... and it's, you know, tried and tested method, like sitting down with a guitar and playing it to people and folk music and telling stories and making it about people and not sound necessarily. And we just got really excited by acoustic music. And then we spent 5 years touring it really hard with acoustic instruments in our hands. It wasn't like really that intentional because we grew up playing rock and roll music.
But how did you get so good at playing guitar? And you play drums too.
I'm a drummer. I play in open tuning.
Hey,
so
watch yourself. She has a thing for drummers.
I just play the guitar like it's a drum kit. I hit it as hard as possible.
But did you have lessons? How do you play so well?
If you open the strings up, you don't have to have lessons, Jane.
You're so good.
What were you listening to? Is it, Kim? What were you when you were growing
up? Springsteen.
Bruce Springsteen. Same.
Cool. Lauryn Hill.
Well, you talk about acoustic. The Nebraska album is one of the great acoustic albums of all time.
And Lauryn Hill, Miles Davis.
Oh, my God. Okay, is this your parents' influence?
Yeah, I was jumping around the place. We'd listen to Bruce Springsteen in the car with my parents, and then I'd listen to Lauryn Hill in my bedroom, and I'd listen to Miles Davis at school.
Wow.
That's how it works.
So what do
what
you
about
play
Yoko Ono? Have you heard Yoko? Yoko? We've got a bit of Yoko Ono doing Imagine.
This is like
here.
Yesterday is she sang this.
You may say I'm a dreamer.
She's on the set of a David Lynch film.
The only
all right,
one.
Well, maybe you should do a duet sometime. I'm not sure if it'll
sure.
work. Do you know Jane Kennedy has a used to be in a band called Highly Strung, which was an acoustic outfit.
Was, yes.
Oh, wow. And when you come out here to tour next year, I'm just putting it to you.
For God's sake.
There's a place on the support bill.
Wow.
For Highly,
don't take him seriously.
Highly Strung. Okay. What was a four-piece outfit, all strings?
Yes, it was, all strings. I played guitar. We had violin, double bass.
This sounds excellent.
But I tell you what we do have.
Mumford & Daughters.
We have. We actually have someone who plays the cowbell. Mick, would you like to audition
now? I won't be put on the spot.
But you won't be put on the spot to play the cowbell.
Could I maybe join you at some stage on stage?
Play the cowbell.
Why don't you pull me out of the audience? And
yes. Why don't you give me your number and then we can stay in
Have you
touch.
Got me playing cowbell, I think, with the bamboos? This is a live recording with me playing. It's not much, Blake.
Oh, the one that's out of time. Yeah. The one that sticks out because it's out of time.
Marcus.
I get an EPRA check every time I play that. So I play it all the time. That is a fantastic single. Is that how's just quickly before we go to the album, what are we thinking?
What about the album?
Yeah.
It's long.
Right.
Hurry
it's an
up
hour.
And get it out,
it's an hour
please.
Long. Wow. And it's the most proud of anything I've ever done.
That's
what it
looks
and
cool.
We're really excited about it. I think Guiding Light's the most recognizable to people who know our music already.
Yep.
And then it starts getting a bit weird.
Can't wait.
It's good. It's good. I really love it.
Thank you for coming in today.
Yeah. And
we really appreciate
playing.
It. And
pleasure.
Playing, that was just beautiful. And we look forward to your tour. You've got the dates
I do up. Indeed. So from January 15, the Entertainment Centre in Brisbane, the 18th at the Kudos Bank Arena in Sydney, Melbourne at the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl, Adelaide, the Entertainment Centre, and the RAC Arena in Perth. Tickets go on sale Friday.
I could have played Cowbell. Why do you bring it out now?
Because I hid it from you because I didn't want you to ruin
it. I could have just snuck it on the end. Hello.
Oh.
Nah, you got the wrong tone.
Hang on a minute. That's Marcus Mumford. Kennedy Malloy.
Fantastic.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Oh. Yes, it is.
We're back on.
We've got a lot to wade through. Gee, that was a good finish to the
What
finish.
A great
yeah.
guy.
Oh, wasn't it?
Buzzing.
Marcus Mumford.
Did you see all the girls out there?
I did.
It's only a couple of us who get that.
I've
you know,
used
that
the word swoon.
Swoon.
Yeah, I was swooning.
All right, there you go. Big hour. We've got to talk about the Opera House at some stage, and this is the biggest story. Mm. And gee, people have gone mad.
Well,
in
it's very
Sydney
interesting.
Town.
Well, we'll get on to that.
ScoMo. We'll get on to ScoMo. We'll talk to Lawrence Mooney. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets.
Yes.
But let's start at the top. We haven't spoken to this guy in a while, Jane Kennedy.
No, because he's been in New York for a long time, and he must
a
be
witness
just
protection
back.
Scheme or just watching things.
No, I haven't. I what I did. What I did was just got out
Minister
of the way.
Mr. Turnbull.
Malcolm Turnbull.
The former Prime Minister of Australia, the 29th Prime Minister, please, Michael Malloy. Hi to you, Jane Kennedy.
Hello.
And you're joining us
and
back
to you,
live.
Dangerous David.
Prime Minister.
It's terrific to be back. I got out of the way. There was a spill. Most Australians saw chaos.
Yes.
And I thought, well, I'm not going to muddy my shoes with it. And I went off to my $4 million apartment on the edge of Central Park just to cool my heels.
Well played.
And it's been terrific fun.
Now, there was lots of highlights of you from New York.
I was loving Marcus Mumford too, by the way.
Oh, you like him? What's your favourite song?
Oh, that one is a ripper. Come
Little
on,
Lion.
You know that I don't know the names of song.
All right, now listen, you're over there now.
Guard Me Home, is that one?
Yeah. Prime ministers have got themselves in trouble in New York, like Kevin Rudd went to schools.
Well,
you,
that's right, he went to a stripper's club.
He went to a strip club?
Well, and I've been to that strip club, I'll tell you what, and it's a terrific club.
I've nothing but high praise.
I know, those women know how to dance.
Do they?
They are artists, and their expression,
that's right.
Their physical expression is wonderful. Have you ever been to a
You forgot to say, and they love it.
They love it.
That's what they call it.
Hey, they're having a good time.
Well, of course they do. They're clearly having a
Prime
good
Minister.
Time. Why would you discriminate?
So were you not seen last week coming out of a waxing salon in New York?
Is well, I was, true? And I'm going to own it. I was papped. somebody took a little bit of a an Insta of me coming out of a waxing salon. And you know, Jane Kennedy, that women, when they finish a relationship, what they do often is change their hairstyle. Well...
Is that what you're implying?
It's my way of purging.
What have you done?
I've left the Liberal Party behind with a back sack and crack wax. And I tell you what, I have indeed. And
what about a Brazilian? Did you think of a Brazilian?
Oh, well, no.
Same time,
they had me up in the stirrups and they took the lot. What happens in a waxing salon stays in a waxing salon.
Thank God.
Including all of your pubes. But I tell you what,
imagine John Howard in a waxing salon. If his eyebrows were any indication, that would have been a two-man's job for Jim Snowden.
I'm still getting my head around
They'd
the
need
fact.
To get out the whippersnipper for John Howard.
Why you would what, you need to? What have you had done? Oh, you did
well, I've
really
had the lot done.
That.
And I've been riding my bike around... the Big Apple, Manhattan Island.
Well,
I can tell you, it's very enjoyable. Once you've had the lot done, it feels terrific.
I've seen you and Lucy getting around in your matching outfits, and somebody put a picture of Kath Day Knight and Kel from Kath and Kim in their matching outfits, and we're
you've got to
comparing the two.
Creative photoshopping, don't you? I mean, of course, Lucy was furious after she was papped in her leisure wear because it was a little bit too tight, and of course, you could see her moose knuckle from two blocks away.
All right, let's not.
We'll keep moving on. All right,
I've already done that once, haven't I?
Well, you were laying low.
I know if you haven't. Yeah.
Every other prime minister this country's ever produced was involved in a last man standing.
There was a real
knock him down, drag him out, fist fight.
Yeah.
There were chairs being thrown, tables overturned. It was like Taiwanese parliament. Why are they turning on each other?
Well, there was a real stoush. I don't know why. It's a kind of a seasonal thing. All of a sudden the spring comes and up they come. Like weeds in your garden bed, XPMs just going, I did this and I did that. And Kevin Rudd was in there and everybody knows.
He's released a book.
He's batshit. No. I mean, he's crazy. And I mean, who eats their own earwax? And Paul Keating came out and said you'd need a microscope to find something that I was committed to. Or
respond to that, please.
Well, good on you, Paul. Well done. You know, he always says great things. I actually envy him. I remember that night of the Bankstown Leagues Club or Sports Club when he said, this is a victory for the true believers. This is the sweetest victory of all. I thought to myself, God, I wish I said things like that. I said nothing in my time. Quote me.
You
what did I say?
When you won the prime ministership, snuck by.
Yes,
I blamed the voters.
One of the most cranky performances I've ever seen.
Crankiest sore winner.
Yeah, you're a sore winner.
Well, I knew that I only had a one seat majority. I didn't want to come out of my Italianate palazzo in Point Park, but they had to pull me out of there. I was like, I don't want to. I don't want to speak to the electorate.
Well, just speaking.
They haven't
of
voted
that,
enough for me.
What's going on in Wentworth and you're a former electorate?
Well, yes, I'm spoiling. What I'm going to do is, you know, Tony came out and said, I won't be sniping, I won't be backgrounding, I won't be wrecking. Well, I will be. I'll try and destroy the Liberal Party. I'm going to put so much money into the Labor Party in Wentworth. I hope they win.
One last hurrah.
You should run for the Labor Party. You would be a great Labor minister.
That's not a bad idea,
honestly,
you know.
And you will usurp any...
Labor. Come back as the Labor Prime Minister, the greatest of all time.
Wouldn't that be
terrific? That'd be great.
I know. How Bill Shorten would
all
be
all right,
happy
little
with that.
Malco, thanks for joining us. Just in
little
happy,
Malco.
Little Malco.
Oh, that's right. Well, I don't even have to pretend to like you people anymore. I'm just, you know, I'm just a normal Joe in the
that's
street
true.
Under mortgage pressure on my $50 million Italianate palazzo.
Are you happy to be home or would you rather be in New York?
Well, I'm loving New York. I'm riding around singing Alicia Keys.
The shows?
Singing Alicia Keys.
It's a concrete jungle where dreams are made of New York.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Lawrence Mooney, an evening with Malcolm Turnbull, now touring around Australia, alist.com.au, but everywhere from Camden Civic Centre, the Art House, Wyong, Newcastle, Blue Mountains and more.
All over the joint.
Perth, hey, Loz, how are
you? G'day, how
great
are
to see you in here.
It's very nice to be here.
Yeah, we haven't seen you for a while.
No, we were crossing paths, Michael Malloy and myself. We were in Noosa.
How was that?
That was wonderful.
Both of our agents suggested it was best we didn't hang out together. Yeah. So.
I think I suggested it was best
you'd not hang out
together. So we made sure. We went away together to take the boys on holiday.
Now, before
not many people know that.
Before we get into your topic du jour, I just need to run something by you quickly. You don't do a Scott Morrison, do you?
No. That's why Malcolm Turnbull was in, because Lawrence Mooney can't do Scott Morrison.
Scott Morrison's done the most extraordinary thing.
Religious freedom stuff.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison has backed the right of religious schools to discriminate against gay students in a political row over confidential government reports in religious freedom. Mr. Morrison played down the storm, pointing to existing laws. I just don't get it. I don't know how to respond
anything,
to this.
If anything, I don't think he should respond, for a start, to a question like this, because, again, I have an issue with mixing politics and religion, and we know that he has a religious background. I just think also in an era where we're getting suicide figures, mental health is an absolute issue for young people. To put that on young people now, the Prime Minister has come out and said that.
But we've just been through
this. It's not on.
We've been through this. We had the chat. We did the plebiscite. We've come out the other end and we said it's not right to discriminate.
No.
So how do you go back to the...
Don't speak for us.
Why don't you get back to the coal face and say it's okay to discriminate? Do we put public money into these religious schools? Because I don't want any of my tax money going into that, and you will never get a vote from me ever again, any Liberal Party, anything. If that flies, if he comes out and goes, I think it's okay for religious schools
to discriminate.
To discriminate against homosexuals, LGBTQ.
What he should be doing is passing a law and saying, I'm not going to let this happen anymore, and religious schools should not be able to do this.
Now,
that's what we want.
We've done this.
And I'm not in any way behind the Liberal Party or Scott Morrison. They are yet to have the party room meeting on this.
Well,
but
then he should zip it.
Why even
should be quiet?
The fish does stink from the head down, and he has come out. It's a dog whistle.
Look, I'm sorry for everybody.
I would if I could.
I know.
To the Corey Bernardites and to Paul Pauline Hanson's mob and the rest of them.
This is a step back. This is a step back. The Liberal Party are going in exactly the wrong direction.
We just want to say to everyone, anybody who feels and who is gay has been concerned about it. If you're a young person listening, if you've got kids, don't worry. Not everybody thinks that way. It's going to be okay.
Yeah. Actually, you know, the first time we saw a Prime Minister going to church, it was Kevin Rudd. He was the one that started to do the Sunday morning doorstop in churches. So... Yeah.
We shouldn't be missing this.
I'm just makes me so angry.
All right. So do you want me to lighten the mood?
Could you? What's going on?
Well,
in your
today's
world?
A big day, and I'm just taking a bit of a risk here because I don't think my father-in-law listens to the show. But I'm going out to dinner with my father-in-law tonight.
Yeah.
To ask for my wife's hand in marriage.
Hang on.
Wait.
Are you?
This is what serious.
I'm confused.
I thought you were. You know,
we're married.
You're married.
We are married. So next year we're celebrating our 10th anniversary and we're going overseas.
Yeah.
It's a big plan with a lot of friends. Don't worry, invitations are in the mail. renew our vows, to get married again.
That's incredibly romantic.
Because you were
the first time was wonderful, and it's been an amazing 9 years, and next year it'll be 10 years, and God willing, we'll be over there in Italy getting remarried. Now, what I have decided to do, and Lou can't hear this because she's in New York right now on business, I am going to propose 10 years from the day that I first proposed.
Oh.
So...
It's not the same proposal.
I'm gonna improve a few things. Okay?
How did it go down the first time?
All right, the first time it was a messy proposal, and it was more of a conversation, and I didn't fully commit to the proposal. I didn't go down on bended knee.
Well,
that's okay.
Bended knee is not okay. A Native American, and I didn't have a ring.
That's okay too. I don't mind that. Okay. I've said that before.
You're making this up on the fly, aren't you?
And I didn't. No, these are the things that I'm making right this time.
Make amends.
And I didn't ask for her father.
I didn't ask the father first.
I didn't ask the father.
Oh, yeah.
Now, a lot of people think that that's an old-fashioned idea and it's a patriarchal idea and maybe you should ask both parents or the mother. But I'm an old-fashioned guy and I just think that He might have expected that, and I've shown him a little bit of disrespect,
okay.
and I didn't ask him. So
it's okay.
Tonight's the night.
It's okay.
Can I just
say
this
so
to you?
But I also think I am really nervous.
You're really nervous.
Yeah, but I'm really nervous. Okay, because
you're
the first
the door,
time.
Mate. Can I just say
because
this,
the first time I think you would have said no.
You are okay, and what you're doing is reopening a door, like you are putting this up there. You're opening it. The opposition. This could come back in negatory.
What do you mean? I've not enjoyed having you for the last 10 years.
Have your daughter's hand in marriage? No. Have you contemplated that?
I have. That's why I'm nervous, and that's why my mouth went dry. I started burbling just a couple of minutes ago, quite seriously. Because, you know, last time around...
I just thought that was
did
one
you get
of
on
fits.
Well?
You know, we...
Did you get on well? Do you feel
we
the
We have
love?
A little bit of, you know, just... very cursory conversation about, you know, so how's work going, mate? You know, he's a bit of, he's a lovely, gentle, shy man, but he kind of like.
He hates you, doesn't he?
He hates you.
We had
every breath I take.
Lawrence.
It is an agony to him.
Lawrence.
He's like, please die.
We had Stephen Curry in here yesterday. I don't know if you're familiar with this story.
No, I'm not.
When he first asked in 2006 for his the hand of marriage. His father lives in Scotland. Scottish man.
Went over there. Helped
went to
him
the pub.
Paint the house.
Yeah, paint the house. Made him paint the house.
The whole thing. He said, can I have his hand of marriage? No.
He said no. He took him to the. He went to the pub and he just said, "I'd like to.
What
I
do
just
you want?
Say I'd like to marry your daughter." And he took a big swig of his lager and he went, "No,
no, Stephen Curry.
No,
do you know a curry is something we drink
so what after happens, 5 pence? What happens if he says no? You're back on the market.
If he sanctions the divorce proceedings,
God, this has taken a dive. This is a happy story.
If
last time around, listen, I wasn't you know permanently employed. I was a 42-year-old stand-up comedian. I was sketchy, and you know his daughter was only 26.
And the difference is,
and
now,
if I turned,
sorry, jokes.
Can I put this to you?
There's no difference. It's just that I don't know.
Can I put this to you?
Can you please help me here? You guys are just yeah.
Nick
go
Scott
on.
Advice.
I would like to put this to you. If at all it comes back negative, do I have permission to marry your wife?
At least, you can't ask me.
At least date.
You're going to have to ask him.
Ask him?
Yeah.
I'll be in the queue behind you. All right, we've got to go to a break. Have you got a question you want the audience to ask the audience?
Well, you know, when did it go really pear-shaped? When you asked your future
father-in-law
for the hand in marriage.
Did you have a bad experience?
Because it's a tough thing to do.
Come on, get on the line. Cheer him up.
1-333-53.
When did it go pear-shaped? Did you ask and you were rejected?
Take your calls after this.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
Lawrence Mooney joining us in studio as well.
And we're talking about marriage proposals, asking father-in-laws.
I'm about to ask 10 years after the fact.
It's a very unusual thing to do, I would suggest. It's the first time I've heard somebody going back and doing it again.
I'm a man that doesn't like loose ends.
Okay.
I like to tie up a loose end.
That.
I didn't do it right the first time. I'm like
you're a lovely husband, and you're so in love with Lou, and it's all lovely.
So
but if this goes badly, I'm throwing my hat in the ring.
Yeah.
Sorry to laugh so loudly. I'm not wishing it to happen.
Yeah, I'll sneeze her.
Well, Lou's a fan, and we, you know, and we're not dissimilar types.
I'm worried now.
All right.
Hey, look, we've asked our callers to call up.
Lou, I'm on.
We wanted to find out how you went when you asked your father-in-law.
Let's do it, Kane.
Mick, how are you?
Yeah, good. What happened to you, mate? All go smoothly?
Oh, sort of. We got married last year, which was a good thing. But when I went to go ask my father-in-law, I asked him if I could marry his daughter, and he said, hang here for a minute. Went outside and got the mother-in-law and the brother, and they all came back in and felt like I was on X Factor.
They've had a meeting. Chairs had to turn around.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, all the chairs had to say yes, so...
So how many did you need? Did it have to be unanimous, or was it a split decision?
Yeah, it was in the end, so that was a good thing.
Did Simon Cowell come in and say, yeah, and it's a yes from me?
Yeah, Nick Cannon was hosting me. And
well done, Kane. That's a good story. Craig's on the line. Craig, how'd it go for you?
It didn't go that well to start with.
Why? What happened?
Over a six-month period, I asked my now still wife's father 3 times if I could marry her, and he said, no, 3 times.
And what was his excuse, Craig? Why did he keep saying no? Seems pretty tough.
Well, he was a mechanic. I was a mechanic. He knew how much mechanics didn't make.
Right, okay.
Get a proper job.
He wanted something better for his daughter, I would assume. Oh. And
what turned him around in the end?
My wife going to him crying, saying, can I please marry Craig?
Aww.
Well, he's had both of you best interests at heart, and I'm thinking that's a good fella. He wanted to
have
make
you,
it best.
Have you thrown in a grease and oil change for him?
The funny thing was, he used to work. I used to work for him at one stage, and now he's working for me.
Oh, well, good for you, Craig. I thought that was going to be the issue. He was worried about you, doing
when he
better.
Came to work for you, you should have made him ask three times.
Exactly. Thanks, Craig. Bye. Hello, Archie.
G'day, guys.
Tell us your story.
Well, look, I was early 20s and no one had ever told me you're supposed to ask.
Why haven't you seen the movies?
I worked at a video shop, but I don't watch the movies, Mick. They're watches chick flicks anyway.
Yeah.
So my parents never told me. They don't teach it in school, but my father-in-law's Italian. I just went ahead and asked his daughter, and when he found out, well, as excited as he was because he loves me and that, well, I thought he did, but ever since, he's dined out on every family gathering, every birthday, Christmas.
Mate, an Italian father, that's the thing he gets. That's the thing,
that's the power
to give away
has.
A daughter. Oh, right. It's such a huge moment and you've robbed him.
Mm. Hey, Archie. Everyone else brings it up as well.
Why don't you take a leaf out of Lawrence's book?
What are you doing?
Archie, it's not too late, mate. Do it like Lawrence is doing.
Well, when you say that thing, Archie, you've scared me now. When you guys say that it's something that an Italian father always wanted, do you know Lou's father's name?
No.
Rocco Macaroni.
Thanks, Archie.
You're going to find a horse's head in your bed.
Hey, Josh.
I'll take that as a no.
Yeah. Josh, how'd you go when you asked for a hand in marriage?
Yeah, not good at all. I'd ask first and the wife's partner said yes. She said, how are we going to tell our folks? I said, tell your mum to cook up a big dinner and we'll tell them after dinner. They'll be too full to argue, but I was wrong there. After dinner, I'd done the, knife on the glass and got their attention and turned around and said, your daughter and I are going to get married. We'd like your permission. And mum started crying and the dad turned around and said, no, you can come back in 6 months' time and show me your bank account, son.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, what's wrong with me? Why do you do that to a nervous young guy? What possesses fathers to do that?
I don't know.
Fathers,
must get a little bit protective at that very moment.
Historically, now, I think
don't you guys do that?
Do you think that I can ask for a dowry too?
Yes, you
reckon there's a horse or a camel in this for me?
You'll get a pig, a couple of ducks, some silver.
A dowry.
All right. Okay, I think we're just about out of time. They were all great calls.
Thank you very much for calling everyone.
Thank you.
You've hit a nerve there, Lawrence.
Harry, what are you going to do? How are we know how it went? Is there a signal?
I'm going to get him loaded on French plonk and pop the question.
The old traditional.
I'll let you know.
Make sure it's him who gets loaded on the French plonk and not you, because that's how you get
The rule is, if you're doing all the laughing and the talking, you're drinking too much.
All right, good work, Lawrence. Thanks very much. Hey, we're going to come back and maybe talk a bit of Opera House. Yeah, see what the latest is.
This
is Kennedy Malloy.
What about Yoko Ono?
Oh, how good.
It's got to be good. Yeah. Is that a highlight? Have you got a bit?
Yeah.
Imagine no possessions.
She's 85.
I wonder if you can.
Bigger problems than that.
She is in tune.
No need for greed or hunger.
Is she playing the piano?
No.
A brotherhood. Of man.
Was it necessary? Is it necessary to have a reprise of Imagine?
I think we can remember John for his birthday in other ways.
There's probably better ways. Anyway, has that a problem the Beatles had in general, do you think?
Yes.
With their partners trying to sing or get in on the
you
act?
You're not got Linda, have you?
Yeah, I do.
Oh my God.
Do you remember this? Someone isolated the lyrics to Hey Jude. Yes. She was singing.
She was doing backup vocals.
And an engineer in a recording studio has
Linda McCartney.
Exposed the full catastrophe.
Yeah. Right. Hey Jude, like you've never heard of
before. What if those two had got together and done it?
Imagine no possessions.
Strangely good. It's like something you put on the White album.
It gave me goosebumps.
Play it backwards.
Wow, all right, play it backwards. Let's see. Paul, you should be dead. Yeah. Hey, now listen, that's not the only reaction we've had. We've had a lot of people ringing up and suggesting it's reminding them of Kim Jong from Team America. Have we got a grab there?
I'm so lonely, so lonely, so lonely and sad, real alone. There's no one, just me only, sitting on my little throne. I work with
all right, enough. I love that movie. That's one of the best movies I've ever seen.
So good.
It was, marionettes. Yes. Who knew they could inspire so much That's trouble?
Right. Oh, we've got some tweets in too.
Yes.
Paul Sarong has just said, has Fitzy, our boss, stormed the studio yet? If the listeners in Orange are scared by Slash, how terrified are they of Yoko Ono?
Fair call. All good. Hey, now, have you got an update, an Opera House update? What's happened? What's the latest? Tell me. Because this town has turned upside down. There's rioting in the streets, people setting fire to themselves, they're tipping over cars.
No, they've never seen anything like it. Not quite.
It's like Bastille Day.
No.
It is the storming of the barricades.
I want to say, what's happening? I think it's one of the most ingenious protests I've ever seen.
How so?
Because a whole bunch of people got together and shone torches and their iPhone torch onto the illuminating sails of the Opera House at the same time. What it does is it blanks out the logo.
Oh, right.
So it was really quite disruptive. It actually was effective because they were protesting.
Their arms are going to get sore, though, aren't they?
Their arms are going to get sore from holding the torches.
Well, they've got to be holding the torches up. It's going to be there for a while.
I think it was only on for 8 minutes.
What's that all about?
I think that's the point that on people who said, what's your problem? It's on for 8 minutes, that's it. Then I think people did have an issue because, you know, they've suspended betting on the race Everest for the moment.
Really?
Yeah,
this is my point. Let's get this straight. The Alan Jones' behaviour was terrible. The bullying was terrible.
His rudeness, and to
think that you can just rush something past is great. So the whole process to me is appalling. I'm just not as upset about this. I go back to this point that they've spent a lot of money on this race. Mm. Like, it's the most expensive horse race in
the
world.
Who has? Who spent a lot of money?
Sydney. The town of Sydney.
But not other people. People who are not, like, just...
Do you not want... Is not the idea of a tourist attraction to bring money and people and $20 million worth of hotels being full and added excitement, global recognition and all that? And if you want to suggest... that we might put something that advertise to create something iconic. Why go to all the trouble to create this global world affair and then go, but let's not advertise it?
The problem was people were saying it's encouraging gambling and there's a huge gambling issue at the moment in this country.
So we Melbourne, they advertise Melbourne Cup.
Yes, which people bet on, of course.
And people in Changi used to watch the Melbourne Cup while they're incarcerated.
And it's iconic.
It became a spiritual and iconic thing. I don't. It's not the shrine. It's not the Twin Towers. It's not.
That's a good point.
I don't think it should be advertising gambling per se, but I don't think the sport of kings at the top end is that. And put it this way, how many people did they get out there?
Well, I got about 1,000.
1,000.
That's okay.
No, it's okay. And good luck to you. And everyone is genuinely passionate and believes what it is, and that's you can't argue with that. I reckon I've got one march in me.
Go. Okay. It's not going to be
probably going to be detention centres.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or it's probably going to involve Indigenous issues or something like that.
But, and, you know, I was thinking about it. It's like, you know, the comedians, you'll probably perform at the Opera House one day. You can book it out. You can book the Opera House.
It's not like they're projecting a big dick and balls on the Opera House.
No.
Yeah. You know, that would be...
Get a sense of humour about this stuff, don't you?
Anyway, done to all, and it is, you're right. It's
I
a
just
funny,
thought as a funny, peaceful, effective form of protesting, I thought it was pretty clever.
Is it the biggest story?
No. I don't think so. Right. Bigger stories.
Good on there. I like people with passion.
Yeah.
As long as we're talking about it, it's all part of it.
But exactly.
No one set yourself on fire.
All right. Kennedy Malloy.
Good idea.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
Well, thanks to Barbecues Galore, some things are better low and slow.
I love Barbecues Galore. Yeah. I love their range of barbecues. Mm-hmm. And guys, if you're listening, get one of these. Get the Komodo Joe or the Pro-Q Smoker.
Now, didn't we have
Or the Traeger Pellet Grill. And can I tell you something? You will never be sneated again.
Oh, you're right.
Why go out and pay the bill and pay the whole thing, not get rewarded with any kind of sexual favour.
Okay.
I don't think Barbecues Galore were expecting that term to be used.
But you can stay home, have a barbecue, and get a root.
Okay.
It's like the antithesis.
Well, you mean using a pro? If you use a pro Q smoker, that's what can happen.
If you if a lady turns up at your house and gets a look at your
Commando Joe
grill, you're home and hosed. Bang, straight in the boudoir, right. Bing, bang, boom. Way to check place.
Because I think girls
and
like.
And it won't be low and slow.
Oh.
Unlike.
I'm bamboozled.
Unlike the Commando Joe, which is the king.
Because it's a smoker and an oven rolled into one. And it looks, you know.
You never told me that.
Well, I'm sorry. There's some secrets I have from you, believe it or not. And you can cook low and slow with this one. It's.
Can you cook low or slow, or does it have to be low and slow?
No, it has to be low and slow.
I just like low and slow. I'll go both. Okay. With the Komodo Joe, what's your favourite, Dave?
The Komodo Joe. Yeah, I'm all across it. Love it.
I'm for the Traeger pellet.
You could
too,
wouldn't you?
Traeger pellet girl.
Now I'm a Traeger pellet girl. From way back.
Really?
No sneeding. Get onto Barbecues Galore and go low and slow,
go
baby.
Go talk to the guys. They'll know everything about it.
Barbecues Galore.
Your new way to drive home.
We had Marcus Mumford earlier. We're just about to post the video so you can watch the performance just outside the Kennedy Malloy studio at kennedymalloy.com.au.
It wasn't the best musical debut we had on the show today. Jane, what did you bring to the table?
What do you mean?
You brought this to the table. This is coming from your private collection.
Oh, of course it is from my private collection. How bit are you, Yoko?
Imagine there's no countries.
Oh, jeez.
It isn't hard to do.
Hi, everyone.
Nothing to kill.
We should get around here to do the anthem. We should get around here to do the pre-NRL AFL.
I feel pretty confident I could do a pretty good impersonation of that.
Strung.
Except it would be very racist if I did it.
You can't.
I couldn't.
We'll do it off air.
So lonely.
Speaking of racist impression.
Has Kim Jong-un from.
And what about, what about Hey Jude and the isolated vocals of Linda McCartney?
Have we got it? They're mashing.
Yeah. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can.
Oh.
Wow.
The women didn't fare too well, did they?
The women of the Beatles.
Okay.
Has the show finished?
We were out of time.
Oh, my goodness. That's the end.
Yeah. Well done,
that
everybody.
That went fast.
Who's on tomorrow?
Dave O'Neill.
All righty, then.
We'll do it tomorrow.
And Bachelorette's on tonight, so I'll give you a bit of a...
And don't forget the Honey Badger.
Yeah.
Now that your Kennedy Malloy catch-up is done, time to hit up the low and slow zone at barbecuesgalore.com.au for videos, tips and recipes to make your ribs, brisket or lamb delicious.